This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I'm Brina Guerin, and you're listening to Hex Positive. You're listening to the Stardust Sessions with Lozzie Stardust and Brina Guerin. Welcome, witches, to another episode of the Stardust Sessions. I'm Brina Guerin, and as you know, this is a Patreon-exclusive series where I, along with my good buddy and horrible goose witch, Lozzie Stardust, have banterous chats about history and witchcraft and all of the interesting places where they intersect. And we're back for part two of our dive into the life and deeds of King James. Hello, Lozzie.
Hello.
How are you, darling?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm excited.
Are we suitably goosey?
Yes.
Excellent. Yes. The Medusa is rearing her head. We are ready to rumble.
Medusa. She has been summoned.
It's just Lozzie, but with like a head of geese heads instead of hair, flapping and honking for snacks.
Yep.
I've just learned that this is a thing, and I have been enriched by it, and I wanted to share it with all of you.
My secrets are out now. Can be bribed with can be bribed with snacks.
Can be bribed with biscuits. Honk,
yes, honk.
Right. So last time we talked about Jimmy's childhood. His sort of establishment as King of Scotland and some of his court favorites in that time, his eventual marriage to Anne of Denmark and that whole bit. And also, the beginnings of this idea that he is the godliest boy to have ever godly boyed. He is God's special boy. Yes. So this time, we're digging into the beginnings of his formal involvement with witches and witch trials, in particular, a huge debacle that came to be known as the North Berwick witch trials. I know it's spelled Berwick, but I have looked it up so that we don't get, you know, utterly murdered in the comments, and it is Berwick, according to the Wikipedia page anyway. So this happens before Jimmy becomes King of England. He is King of Scotland at the time. This all happens in the early 1590s. Basically, it all started after a series of storms that hindered the return of James and Anne to Scotland as they were coming back from their wedding in Denmark. As you may recall, I don't remember if we mentioned it, but Anne's brother was King Christian of Denmark. It was a whole deal. So they got married in Copenhagen, and that was the thing. Now, it is important to keep in mind that the Trier trials were happening in Germany at this same time. So, like, witchcraft is current events. The idea of witches interfering with the weather and, like, trying to curse people in power was very much on everyone's minds. Actually, parallels to modern times, if you think about it. except, you know, in modern times, it was actually happening. So the admiral of the Danish fleet, argued with the treasurer who is in charge of equipping the ships, you know, saying, well, we wouldn't have had such a difficult time if you had paid to have them like outfitted better or repaired in time or such and such other thing. And the treasurer, in an effort to deflect blame from himself for the difficulty of the voyage, apparently no one thinking, well, you know, sometimes the weather is just shit and these things do happen. But no, the king is involved, so someone has to be at fault. He blamed the storms on the wife of a high-ranking official back in Copenhagen who he had apparently insulted. It's the old, I said something nasty to a woman and now she's trying to ruin my life for no reason, song and dance. There's actually a trial that resulted from this accusation, and unfortunately two women were burnt at the stake because of it, which is terrific.
Ugh. Yep.
Yeah,
because I had preloaded the ship with demons.
Yes. They had hidden in the barrels, in the bowels of the ship, and that's what caused the storm, which is...
I mean, demons, you know, don't do U-Haul. Like, I don't... Like, you know, it's just... Oh, man, you can't organize...
Demon U-Haul.
You can't, I'm just like, you know, I just can't even, like... And it was also the way, like, preloaded them. Like, had they put mm-hmm. them in a crate? Had they, like, you know, it's no longer a barrel of monkeys. It's a barrel of demons. Like,
exactly. And just the fact that it was, you know, it was probably that one of them had, or it was a lady and her servant, I believe. So it was probably that one of them had, like, been near the ship or the shipyard and had looked at the ship, because that was, like, the big thing. Is you could, like, cast the evil eye or the malefic gaze on a thing or a person, and then like just bad shit would happen. So, oh, she looked at my ship and then things went pants, and that's because of her.
I mean, it has nothing to do. Yeah. I mean, it had already gone to court and the court had thrown it out twice.
Yeah.
And it was the third time that he was just like, cause you know, it couldn't have possibly been that, you know, cause initially it was like, well, the Navy were, you know, like obviously the Navy weren't up to scratch. And then the Navy general was just like, no, it's not me, it's the treasurer.
Yeah.
It
couldn't possibly be one of these several men that were responsible for outfitting the ships properly, planning the voyage properly, planning for the bad weather that happens a lot in that area of the ocean. Yep. Nope. It has to be something else. And it's very convenient to blame a witch or a woman. And it was like, well, you know, these Trier trials are happening. Ah, idea.
Yes.
Light bulb. Or I guess in their case, candle. yeah. So it's called, if you ever want to look up stuff about it more in detail, I will link an article about it. It's the Copenhagen Witch Trials of 1590. But yes, I will link a bit about that in the show notes so you can look up and read about that. It was pretty awful. But later on, I believe that was what inspired a particular passage in the Scottish play that Lassie's very fond of. What was that bit, Lassie?
But in a sieve I'll hither sail, and like a rat without a tail, I'll do.
That was beautiful. Lovely. Thank you, dear. Beautiful recitation.
Dramatic reading.
Oh, I love it. I love it. She's so good, isn't she? Oh, my God. This is fabulous. Take a bow. Yes, yes, yes. Golf claps. Yeah. So, yes.
Basically, Stuart.
Yes. So that bit from the Scottish play where the witches are talking about a storm they have roused at sea and a ship that they have given difficulty to, it was inspired by that particular voyage. That and the storms that kept Anne's ship from coming over to England in the first place. So James, of course, hears about all of this and goes, what a great idea. I'm going to hold my own tribunal because of this nonsense and also because of the storms that prevented my fiancé from coming over before our wedding. Because clearly, if there was a witch involved with this, there are obviously other witches who are plotting against me who just basically tried to kill the king. That is treason. So they have to pay. Somebody has
also heresy.
Yes. Yes, because I am God's chosen boy. I am God's special boy. Yes, divine right of kings, blah, blah, blah. So he decides that he's going to get together a tribunal and look for people in the East Lothian area of Scotland and figure out what all is going on here. Now, these trials run for 2 years. They implicate, I think in total, close to 100 people.
Yeah, between 70 and 100.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they get a lot of press because, you know, it's not just, you know, witchcraft. It's also high treason because, you know, it was storms that could have killed the king. It's like, you tried to kill me with your witchings. Clearly, you know, because of these storms, like something is going on and someone is trying to kill me. So we're going to just torture everyone in sight until we get the answers that we want. And some of these people were fairly high profile, including Francis Stewart, 5th Earl of Bothwell.
Yes.
And that's a big deal.
Yep.
You know, normally we see, yeah, like all caps, fancy illuminated letters, very big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, because normally in witch trials we see it's the poor, the disenfranchised, those who don't have the position or the wealth to defend themselves that are accused in these trials. And here it is, you know, this is literally a member of court.
Yeah.
Who is implicated in this stuff, and it goes a bit pants for everyone involved.
It really does.
No one really gets away unscathed, and it's quite bad.
And even if people do get away unscathed, it is very long in the tooth. Yeah, and it's only, and as we'll talk about later, it's only certain people who got away with it, TM.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak, just because of money. And it's just, it is so interesting, looking back on a lot of the stuff, because, for the first, for the actual first voyage, it was supposed to be like 3 to 6 days by boat, but it actually, you know, apparently he was looking forlorn out into the sea for 3 weeks. I can't imagine, you know, just sat there for 3 weeks going, about his lost love, but there we go. And he apparently reported, Lord Dingwall, I love that name, I love it so much, it makes me cackle every time I hear it,
and
reported some Lord bad storms Dingwall. Initially, and King James has actually said he'd ordered for a fast to ensure people's safe arrival, so and safe arrival to, I mean, way to piss everyone off.
Yeah.
From like, you know, just like, you know, not only are you trying to convince everyone that you're, you know, the most godly boy to ever godly boyed, but also you are the most manly man to have ever manlied. courtiers. Nope, don't know who those are. Nope, it's fine.
I just kiss boys. What are you talking about?
I only kissed that boy in front of everyone once. Wherever.
Last week.
Last week. Everyone's like, it's King James. I'm fine. So. Yeah. And also he'd done a lot of talking to other people while in Denmark because the weather was so bad. They got kind of, Queen Anne got diverted to Norway, and then they met up kind of in Norway. And then they came back, but they were like, oh yes, you know, King James was like, yes, the weather is so terrible. I can't possibly come back and resume my kingly duties when I'm under a lot of scrutiny. I've gone off and done a really manly thing. So you guys can all hold the fort for about 5 months, right? Cool. No problemos. But he was speaking to Niels Hemmingsen and Tycho Brahe. Brahe? About a lot about witchcraft.
That's how I read it, yeah.
Yeah. That's why he'd, those two, the Calvinists, had actually also seeded a lot of doubt, because, you know, you're not really paranoid if they really are out to get you.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it was, yeah, it was very, very interesting how actually we all think, oh, you know, like, you know, he was a fervent witch hater, and he was, but it wasn't really a problem until he kind of went away somewhere else and other people had talked to him. And it got even worse, and he'd kind of been inspired by Denmark and Germany as well.
Like, yeah, well, there is a lot of I talked about in episode 20 of Hex Positive callbacks, the bit about witchcraft and the law, where, you know, we talk about like witch trials in England and such, and oh yes, everything was terrible in England, and in Germany it was 100 times worse.
Yep.
So the fact that, you know, he's already like predisposed to believe that, you know, witches are out to get him because of just his life experience and, you know, his belief in divine right of kings, and he is God's special boy. And then to have those ideas kind of confirmed, and not just in an, oh yes, your majesty kind of way, but in a, yeah, that's the way it is. Witches are terrible. This is what we believe here in these, you know, in these particular areas in Denmark and Germany.
Yeah.
You know, just to have outside confirmation of what he was already thinking, I think really kind of stoked that fire. And so he came back like ready to look for some sort of supernatural explanation for all of his problems. So he was really kind of primed, I think, when all of this started, which is unfortunate.
Absolutely. Especially with the storms on the way back as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it couldn't possibly be that, you know, England is surrounded by a Gulf Stream, which means that our weather is incredibly like all over the place. And, you know, it's spring and Norway is cold and England is warming up. And, you know, like the whole of the UK is like, you know, and there's a weather front, and hot meets cold makes weather. No. Can't possibly. Nope. Witches.
Yeah, it couldn't possibly just be weather that everyone expects, you know, that time of year in that area of the world. No, because the king is involved, it must be witches.
Yeah.
And
well, also it's if God, because he's the most, like, because he is the divine, you know, divine right and stuff. It's almost like if you say it was just a natural cause or an act of God, that would mean that God is mad at him. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which means that God is mad at James, and we
can't have that.
No, because he's the bestest, obviously, TM. So we really want to, he being quite Protestant, and his mum being Catholic, and there being a kind of almost a semi-Catholic resurgence at the end of Elizabeth's reign, he kind of really wants to, you know, nip that in the bud very, very quickly.
Yeah. And actually, on that note, I have to wonder, just how much, and I'm sure that this is something that has been raised by, you know, discussion in academics in the past. It has to have been, that how much of witch trials were just people in power going, well, these natural phenomena, you know, all natural phenomena come from God. And, you know, if God is working against me in some way, or if natural phenomena appear to be against me, that must mean that God is angry with me. But there's no way that God could be angry with me because I'm a good and devout person, or I'm in a holy position of power, or whatever. So I have to look for someone who is ungodly as the source of this thing. I need someone else to blame, because I can't just say, oh, that's, you know, that's just the way it is, because God clearly would never do anything to impede my insert whatever here. So,
100%.
I'm sure the discussion has been had.
Yeah, you've got to externalize, because if you if you don't externalize all other things, then political unrest happens.
Yeah, it's like we can't blame something else. Yeah, we can't just accept that sometimes bad shit happens, whether you're good or not, because, you know, they have to believe that everything comes from either God or the devil. And, you know, clearly if it's something, you know, even if it's a natural phenomenon, if it's bad for them, then it must be the devil, which means it must be the work of witches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a whole thing. And, you know, ramp that up to like another degree of magnitude if there's royalty involved.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's the kind of mindset we're looking at.
Yep. And if there's throne issues.
Yeah.
If there are exactly. contenders to the throne, because yeah, you're absolutely right. It all stemmed from the Earl of Bothwell. So mm-hmm. Francis Stuart, who was very Catholic, very, very Catholic indeed. And he, so his dad, so Francis Stuart's dad was the illegitimate son of Henry V. So that would mean that Francis Stuart, being a legit child,
is technically
would
in
have
line.
Had, yes, he technically, he Ooh. Could have contested the throne because there was no heir currently on James I's or James VI's side.
Mm-hmm.
So James didn't have any kids at that point. So the Earl of Bothwell was a potential contender for the throne if anything happened to James, and he was super Catholic.
Mm.
So that was an extra layer of, oh my God, we have to do something about him.
Mm-hmm.
He is stirring up trouble. He's gaining sort of political favor in the court. We need to nip this in the bud. We need to sort mm-hmm. this out. We cannot have him being a problem.
And I'm sure that when they were trying to like look around and be like, oh, you know, you need to find someone to blame for what's going on. You know, they added, you know, 2 and 2 and got 5.
Yeah.
And then it was just sort of confirmation bias of like, you know, oh, well, let's look around and see who would gain, if, you know, if James didn't come back from this voyage, if, you know, if the king died, you know, and of course he's got to be like top 3 names.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, and then it becomes, how can we connect him to this? How can we, you know, isn't this convenient? Let's do a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting because it actually all started off because Agnes Sampson is a massive player in this, but she doesn't come in till a little bit later. It's absolutely poor woman. Mm-hmm. It was actually Gillis or Gilly Duncan there was a lord called David Seton, and Gilly had comings and goings in the night. And she got caught. And he was like, what the flop are you doing? And of course, under torture, not under an actual explanation or reasonable or proper trial or anything. You know, she couldn't have possibly been going to see a gentleman or a lady friend or anything like that. Of course, it had to be. She was in the coven of witches.
Mm-hmm.
So she had been tortured and she got this they got this confession kind of under duress that it was Agnes Sampson. Barbara Napier was one of the other big players in it, and I'm sure we'll talk about her a little bit mm-hmm. later on. And there are, like I said, there was, you know, we've got Ms. McAlzen, we've got, I mean, there was up to 70
people. Was that when Dr. Fian came in as well?
Yep, that's it. Yeah. So it was, and...
She was basically reaching for, like, any name that she could think of, anyone that they suggested to her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it was just mad, because obviously, you know, all of the confessions, all, and I don't often speak in absolutes, but all of the confessions that we get from the North Berwick trials are extracted under torture. And it was like, I'm not going into like what went on because it was really horrible, but so we cannot trust any of the so-called confessions that came out of this, especially from it's either Gillis or Gaelis, and those who Outlander fans in the audience, this is where Gaelis Duncan comes from.
Yes.
She's lovely. Good old Lottie. She's so wonderful. Lottie Verbeek. Mm, fabulous. So Yeah. So there's this whole thing in the literature that comes from these trials, a pamphlet published the year after, News from Scotland Declaring the Damnable Life of Dr. Fian, a Notable Sorcerer, also talks about other people involved in the trials. Allegedly, Agnes Sampson took the king aside because supposedly her confession initially was just so wild and out there that he didn't believe what she had said, because literally she's this poor old woman and she's confessing to anything and everything just to make everything stop. And so she goes and says, oh yes, we're flying to meetings with the devil. We have given him an image of the king, to curse him and, to overturn his throne and bring him down and this, that, and the other thing. She basically is trying to confirm everything that they're saying just to make the pain stop.
Yep.
So even, King James, who is he's there to find witches. Like, this is what he is supposedly looking for. He listens to all of this that Agnes is saying and is like, this sounds a bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
But according to, this pamphlet, allegedly she took him aside and is like, no, really, I need you to believe me, probably because if he doesn't believe her, they're just going to take her right back to the pillory and it's going to be even worse.
It's going to be horrible. I just need this to stop.
I just need it to stop. So she confessed to raising contrary winds against the ships, so on and so forth, and she allegedly tells him words that he and Anne had spoken to each other on their wedding night in Denmark that, of course, no one else would have known. And he was, so amazed by this that then he believed her. But yeah, it does say in all of the literature, she immediately confessed whatsoever was demanded of her and justifying those persons aforesaid to be notorious witches. So literally anything they put to her, any name they put to her, she's like, yes, that absolutely happened. And that person's a witch. Just stop poking me with things. It's all very horrible. And then, several dozen other people are dragged into it just because of this.
It just became guilty by association. You even know this person. So it's quite interesting because Bothwell, he's got some cojones as Bothwell, actually. Because he initially got imprisoned when Jimmy Boy came back and he escaped. And he could have just bollocked off into England, never to be seen again. But no. Oh no. He had a secret support network. He raided the houses of King James VI when he was present. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm rereading my notes back. So, James has gone on this massive, this massive witch hunt. He's imprisoned the Earl of Bothwell. The Earl of Bothwell escapes and they're all searching for him. He comes back to the houses where James is staying over, and he raids them, outright raids them, sets things on fire, goes through destroying stuff, and he gets caught by James in the tower. And the tower's just like, James is like, he's so obsessed with the devil that he's just like, you might take my body, but you're never going to take my soul. But actually, a plea bargain was struck, so Bothwell technically got away with it. And then he got sent out to exile. And the reason why he managed to do this was because apparently, according to, they'd set all these rumours out that, that Bothwell himself was a necromancer. It's just like, okay, oh yes, we definitely 100% have put these pamphlets out and all this kind of wanted posters saying that you're definitely a terrible, terrible witch and, you're a necromancer. But now after we've had a conversation and some money's changed some hands and we're going to put you out to exile, we're going to put a plea deal that you were simply consorting with witches. He was simply talking to them. You know?
Yeah.
Just like Saul in the Bible. And you know what happened to him. So, you know, we'll exile you because it's not your fault because you clearly got suckered in by these women. And and that's how it got linked back to Agnes and Jilly.
Meanwhile, other people who were, you know, merely guilty of consorting with other witches were executed.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, if you're a woman and you've gone to get your
husband, they have no money.
Exactly. It's just like, yes, you're a massive, massive problem. We need to get you got. Oh, wait. You've got the secret support network. Mm-hmm. If we actually kill you, you're going to be more of a problem because then you're like martyred
because
to your cause.
Martyr. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
can't actually we can't actually execute another heir presumptive to the throne.
Yeah.
Because that's going to cause a lot more problems than it's going to solve.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Yep.
Whoopsie.
We've told you all of these terrible things, but we're just going to put you in exile and you can say that, yes, I just talked to some witches.
Yeah. It's a bit bats.
Sus AF.
Very sus. There was another gentleman involved, a notable gentleman, John Fian, a schoolmaster and a doctor. Preston Pans, I think it is. Mm. He was the other very notable personage in these trials. We mentioned him before. His name appears on the titles of the pamphlets. This poor guy, he was one of the people who was named by Gaelis Duncan in her confession, heavy air quotes, and was later examined as a sorcerer. And of course, you know, he first just openly confessed because it's like, okay, I did the thing. To bewitching people, and a lot of this, you know, later on just had nothing. It had like just nothing to do with like actually plotting against the king. It was like any accusation of witchcraft they could throw against a person that they could come up with any evidence for at all, even if it was hearsay, especially if it was hearsay, because they really believed in hearsay back then, which is ridiculous. But that's a separate rant for a separate day. Yes.
I mean, the whole trial kind of just would, you know, it was just like, objection, hearsay, no, objection, heresy. Like, guys, make up your mind. Like,
exactly.
Put yourselves out. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it really was. It was like, well, it might be hearsay, but clearly they're guilty of something or they wouldn't be here.
Exactly. And God wouldn't let them.
Exactly.
God wouldn't let them if they hadn't actually, you know.
Oh, yes. He would give them the strength to resist this pointy provocation, this pointy persuasion, if they weren't, you know, if they were actually, if they were actually innocent. That was something they very much believed, is that, you know, even if you're put to the ordeal, you know, if God is on your side, you can still prevail. And it's like, no, that's not how it works.
No, absolutely. And I mean, some of the stuff that they confessed to doing, like, bless them, it was just absolutely, and it was beyond belief, because like you said earlier, James, you know, did not believe them at all. And it was only until Anne was just like, hey, I know what you got up to on your wedding night. And yep. And it's just, but one of the
allegedly
TM, one of my favorite quotes of, what these poor lasses, had admitted to was, Satan himself had appeared to the witches and promised to raise a mist and cast the king into England, for which purpose he threw into the sea a thing like a football. So they're saying that they got a football, said it was James, and chucked
threw
it
into
the sea, and was just like, so the devil, this, you know, like Wilson, this is King James. I'm going to punt him into the sea. This is what I want you to do to him. And I was just, I had that such vivid.
And all the witches did raise their hands and declare, 'tis good.
Yes. And thus the devil gave us kick sport foot goal. Like, it's
like, and thus was the first field goal landed.
Yes. And thus soccer, real football, was created. And it just, I was just like.
It's just absolutely bonkers.
Yep. Yep.
It's nuts. Chair squeak. Anyway. But yeah. Right. So Dr. John Feehan. Yep. This guy, you know, he confessed to bewitching a gentleman to fall into fits of lunacy, and, you know, allegedly demonstrated this in December of 1590. I believe it was on Christmas Eve, which you have to believe, like, had to be part of the entertainment for the evening.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, looks at the guy that he brings in and is like, you know, does the doodle-doodle-doo. And the man then falls into screaming fits of lunacy for over an hour, and then, you know, jumps and contorts and bounces about. And then afterwards says, oh, goodness, what happened? Oh, my, I have no memory of the event. Yes. So that was all very odd. But, yeah. You know, again, you know, it's either that or go and have your feet crushed. So, you know, I know what I would pick. Yeah.
Yep.
So frickin' yeah. And, you know, Feehan, this guy was smart. He was very, very smart. And he tried to say during a later examination that yes, I had made a compact with the devil, blah, blah, blah. But he confronted me in my cell. And demanded that I, you know, hold to my oath and continue in his service. And I rebuffed him and I renounced him in the name of God and our good king, and swore that I would, you know, lead the life of a good Christian man henceforth, you know, trying to be like, yeah, you know, yeah. I made a mistake, but I'm trying to make good. And I told the devil to his face, yep, fuck off.
Yep.
Which I'm sure was impressive. To the listening audience. Feehan testified he had renounced Satan to his face, saying, avoided Satan, avoided, for I have listened too much to thee, and by the same thou hast undone me, in respect whereof I utterly forsake you. And so then he's given the chance to, you know, make good and, you know, try and keep that promise. But like literally the same night, he steals one of the cell keys and escapes, which doesn't go well. He's eventually recaptured and then tortured to death, which is awful. So it was kind of like, yeah, you had it going good there for a second, dude. He tripped at the finish line.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's actually like, oh, okay. That's brilliant. Although I'm sure that like, if it had been one of the women who had tried it, they would have been like, eh, nice try, ducky, not going to work.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, he was a man and a doctor. Yes. So it was like, okay, this might be a thing.
Yep. Absolutely. It's, I mean, a few people
did,
got
he
scared,
did deny but... his confession later. He did deny his confession, saying he had said all those things in an effort to avoid torture and spare his life. And I'm like, yeah, so did everyone.
Yeah. But it's okay, because I'm special. TM. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
TM.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, Richard Graham, he was actually... So it wasn't... I mean, this was a... The witch hunts were definitely a gender-related issue, but it did not completely... So just being a man was not enough, because I think Richard Graham, who was... linked to Jean Lyon, who was kind of someone's sister in law. That was just an utter cluster muck as well. And he got executed just for somebody coming to him for advice, because he was apparently a healer.
And again, just, guilty by association.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was all because somebody had put down, well, bless him. Agnes and Gilead said about Barbara Napier, who was the only reason why she did not get executed was because she had money and she had her family's backing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she also said she was pregnant as mm-hmm. well.
Oh, that was, yeah, and she was supposed to be executed. Yeah, like, they had literally built the pyre for her,
yeah.
but they burned Mrs. McCowson on it instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Barbara had sort of pled out slash paid people off slash escaped. Yeah. Basically, she just kind of disappears from the records after yeah. her confession. And
I mean, James
things,
was stunning
things
for
kind
her
of
anyway.
Get, yeah, things kind of yeah. get muddy, and then there's just no mention, which usually yeah. means that they escaped, because if there yeah. is an execution, you know, that was very carefully noted.
Yeah. I mean, James, because James also was presiding over a lot of this, and he was actually mm-hmm. present, which is
oh,
never
yeah,
been done
this
before.
Wasn't, yeah. yeah, this wasn't just, you know, oh, I've ordered a tribunal, now go yeah. and do the thing. Like, he was actually sitting there, you know, his opinion
having conversations.
Was part
yeah.
of this.
Yep. Yeah. Having conversations with these women and, you know, kind of pressuring them into saying things and what they'd done. And, mm-hmm. you know, it, because again, he was proving his manliness. I'm yeah. going to look these witches in the face because, you know, I know it's super dangerous, but I'm just such a manly man. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, God's on my side. So
exactly.
he's going to protect me. And a lot of that, I mean, Agnes also did a lot of. It's really interesting what you said about the doc was just like, oh, I've seen the error of my ways and I've repented. And therefore, I told Satan to, you know, like, nap
piss off.
Piss off. Because Agnes had really made an impression and she was almost too good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she turned around and said, oh, yeah, the devil hates you. You know, and James, you are the greatest enemy that the devil has in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was basically, you know, like you said earlier, kind of lighting a fire beneath him, excuse mm-hmm. the terrible witch trial pun there, but it was just, it was basically the bellows underneath, and it just absolutely lifted his importance and proved mm-hmm. to everyone that he was so super important. And, you know, the stuff that they come out with, like, oh yes, we used to like kiss Satan's bum and stuff like that, and you know, he'd write this down and like ask for descriptions in such like detail,
mm-hmm.
and you're like
yeah, and so much of it is them just saying, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
whatever they want to hear, and they have to come up with like more and more fantastical things. They can't just say, oh yeah, what she said before me. It's like, no,
yeah.
there must be more.
No,
there must be something more yeah. terrible, more salacious.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it just snowballs.
Yeah.
And he later, you know, we'll get to it, but he later writes all of this stuff down.
Oh, yes.
And incorporates it into this little pamphlet called Daemonology. And so this is set down as fact in his eyes, that, you know, they confess to it. So therefore, you know, it must be something that happened. It must be true. You know,
yeah.
I must be the devil's favorite enemy. I must be, you know, great, so greatly beloved of my God that, you know, the devil is actively like sending people against me. And also these rituals must be taking place exactly as these people said, because, you know, clearly. You know, why else would they have said these things? Let's think.
Yes.
Ouch.
Why else would we have said? It definitely
yeah.
had nothing to do with the fact that, you know.
Nothing to do with thumbscrews.
Nothing to do with thumbscrews, and definitely nothing to do with the fact that, you know, like everyone's father-in-law who didn't like their daughter-in-law was just like, she's a witch.
Hmm.
You know, that
yeah.
was McCalzean. Because
yeah.
she was a sole wealthy heiress. She was going to inherit a lot of money as a sole heiress, and he was just like, oh, look, my son's conveniently married this heiress. Oh, look, if they don't have any kids yet, and I bump her off early,
mm-hmm.
my family get the money because she's married my son. So
mm-hmm.
let's try and get this
Yeah.
And let's get in the old Earl of Angus and, you know, all the Earls of Anguses, because there was multiple at that point.
Yeah, that was the whole thing with Barbara Napier.
Yeah.
Because she had supposedly bewitched the Earl to death, Archibald Douglas.
Yes. Yeah.
Reported to have, what was it, died from a disease so strange that no one could describe, like, what it was or figure out how to cure it, which, you know, back then could have been any number of things. Who the hell knows?
No.
But it was just bad timing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was a really prominent religious zealot as well, but he was a Protestant zealot, so he was definitely, you know, up there. And his cousin was the one who conducted the trial. So William Douglas was the one who conducted the trial. So, you know, he's really going to be, you know, against Barbara and Jean Lyon and Richard Graham. You know, he's really going to be so neutral.
Yeah.
So neutral. So neutral, because it's definitely that, you know, rich people, you know, didn't matter, you know, poor women or poorer women weren't marrying into rich families or anything. And therefore, you know, he couldn't have possibly been upset the fact that, you know, if this other woman comes in who already has a son and then marries his cousin. Oh, nope. Can't be doing that, because that'll get me less cousin money. And it's just like,
yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So there were a number of people who were, you know, titled in some form or another. That, you know, that got drawn into this, which is, you know, not unique to the North Berwick trials, but it certainly is, remarkable, considering, like we said before, that most of the people who were usually accused in these trials just didn't have the position or the money or whatever to defend themselves. But it really just sort of became a free for all, just, you know, the accused were naming anyone they could think of just to get out of the ouch. And anyone who had an inconvenient female, or sometimes even just a relative, not even, you know, gender wasn't always a factor.
Yeah, I was about to say, Richard and the doc, you know, they were.
Yeah, they, you know, it's just, if you had an inconvenient relative you wanted to bump off, it's like, aha, an opportunity. So this then became this supposed, like, grand conspiracy among, you know, the peasants and the nobility to off Jimmy Boy, all over poorly outfitted ships and weather that commonly happened that time of year, in that area of the world, which is just absolutely bonkers.
It's going to be cold.
It's so bad. Yeah, it's just crazy. So, yeah, and the, you know, the conclusion of all this is that with very few exceptions, the people who could, like, pay their way out, or the people who escaped, or just folks whose names were, you know, not recorded because they weren't important enough, most everyone who was accused and convicted was executed. They were throttled or burnt at the stake or hanged, and it was awful. It was really awful. And this all took place over the course of about 2 years. Jeez, and it touched off a good 150 years of accusations and witch trials in Scotland that ended up killing a few thousand people. They said as many as 4,000 people, possibly. Yeah. So, yeah, it went absolutely, absolutely mad, absolutely off the rails. And there was Jimmy Boy in the middle of all of it, just, you know, all this confirmation bias and, yes, I am God's special boy, fanning the flames. And then just
the
sort of
manliest man. Everyone's
then just forgotten going
about
on his way.
Snogging my mates in public because, look at this. Yeah.
Oh, look, witches.
Witches. Mm-hmm. And I've gone on to have a son as well. So therefore I must be super important.
Yeah, I've clearly defeated these witches, and I've gone on to have a son. So clearly, I did the right thing. King logic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all a bit bonks, and a lot of this makes it into the Scottish play later as yes. Various references and things. But we'll get more into that in our next Stardust session, because we still have to discuss the writings of King James, including the first, well, not actually the first, but the approved English translation of the Bible, and we'll get to it. As well as this little pamphlet called Daemonology. Ever heard of it? But that is a subject for next time. So for now, this is Bree and Lozzie bidding you farewell and hoping you'll tune in for the next issue of the Stardust Sessions.
Bye.
Honk.
Honk.
Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Check out everything they have to offer, including our sibling podcast, BS Free Witchcraft, over at nerdandtie.com. Intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. For all the latest updates, follow @hex_podcast on Twitter. You can also follow me at Bree Nagarin on Twitter and Instagram. For more information on my books, you can check out my WordPress and my Amazon author page. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit patreon.com/BreeNagarin. Stay safe, wash your hands, and remember, always practice safe hex. Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Check out everything they have to offer, including our sibling podcast, BS Free Witchcraft, over at nerdandtie.com. Intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. For all the latest updates, follow @hex_podcast on Twitter. You can also follow me at Bree Nagarin on Twitter and Instagram. For more information on my books, you can check out my WordPress and my Amazon author page. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit patreon.com/BreeNagarin. Stay safe, wash your hands, and remember, always practice safe hex.